talking about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about
practice. Welcome back, welcome back. You guys are tuned into Everybody Has an Opinion. Man, we have a jam-packed show for you guys today. You know, shout out to my brothers in crime, Mr. Brandon Freeney.
What's happening?
What up, Jason?
What's good? What's good?
Guys, we got a lot to talk about. It's been a crazy few weeks. But before we jump in on that, I just want to give you guys a quick shout out. You know, make sure you guys log in to Instagram and follow Everybody Has an Opinion. Make sure you follow us on Facebook. If you guys want to be a part of the community and possibly become an opinionist, jump on the show, share your opinions. Make sure you add us on the Facebook groups and we'll take care of you as well. And make sure we let you know when we're recording so you can be a part of the process. Man, we've had a crazy, a lot of interesting stuff happen over the weekend and over last week. We had an amazing fight. You know, we had, we just did a whole show on a trade that might not even happen, right. You know, and you know, it just, and football season's around the corner, man. So there's just a lot to really discuss, a lot to really run by. But aside from all that, you know, everybody else, how we doing? We doing good. You feeling better, man? You feeling better, my brother?
I'm still in a little pain, but I'm feeling better. I can't complain about anything given the fact that what's going on in Houston.
Oh man, shout out to Houston. Prayers
it's a
to
terrible
Houston,
situation
man.
Going on. People continue to reach out. People continue to pray. Continue to donate. You know, it's just a travesty. So, I mean, it's a crazy situation. Jason, how do you feel?
No, I feel the same way. You know, it's sad to see all these people displaced and, you know, what they're going through. But, you know, hopefully they're able to get everything in order in the next coming months, because you know this is going to be a situation that they're going to be living with for a while now, you know. And it's crazy because a lot of people that left New Orleans from Katrina moved to Houston, and now they're living that nightmare again.
That's
so terrible. You know, just
it's crazy.
Prayers.
Not for nothing, but believe it or not, there's a lot that we can actually do too. You know, it's not just about donating. A lot of people, you know, if one thing I know, dealing with a lot of the relief efforts in Haiti, you know, I've come
no
to
no Red Cross.
Yeah,
I'm sorry
I've come
that.
To the realization that it's not always good to donate to these just like you would.
Yeah,
donate.
I mean, you have to find the proper outlet for, you know, sending your funds. Make sure there's a plan in place. Make sure it's a credible source. You know, just from what I understand, the Red Cross is not the way to go.
Plus, you can go yourself. That's another thing I think a lot of us tend to forget, is that if we really want to go out there and help, we could take a weekend, take a couple days, go out there and help people and put, you know, give them supplies, give them stuff that they need. So I just want to put that out there, because a lot of us, we feel helpless. We see this stuff on TV. We see this stuff on the social media, and we think, like, man, like, this is terrible. What can I do? You can do a lot more than you think. And so we just want to put that out there. And all right, so let's jump into it, man. We got a lot to talk
about.
Before
we do that, I don't mean to cut you off, Chris.
What's up, man?
And since we're on those types of things, 48 years ago,
mm-hmm.
The term racial disturbances in Fort Lauderdale, the National Guard was actually mobilized on this day 48 years ago. And today actually was a rally similar to what happened in Charlottesville down in Hollywood, Florida. It didn't get rowdy. It wasn't a situation where, you know, people are getting hurt, ran over by cars. But, you know, it's just interesting that 48 years ago to this day, there was it's deemed or termed a racial disturbance in Fort Lauderdale.
Wow.
And, yeah, the National Guard had to actually be mobilized to come and, you know, quiet down and calm down the situation.
Somebody was arrested today, though.
Absolutely. It was one guy, and I seen that guy when I was there. He was actually the lone white supremacist on site. He was being paraded around. Everybody had a camera in his face. They kept asking him the same questions. So, I mean, a lot of this stuff, when people do say that, I don't want to say these things are set up, but when you see it for yourself with your own eyes, I see how it becomes a circus in the show. I don't want to get too deep into that. I just wanted to bring that to the forefront since we were talking about
kicking knowledge.
You know, Harvey and whatnot, and what's really going on in the world today. It's just interesting to see that 48 years later, we're still dealing with the same thing. So
wild. So let's jump into the first topic. So what do you guys think about the fight of the century? Nah, listen, can we at least admit one thing? In terms of an entertainment standpoint, the Mayweather-McGregor fight was worth the price of admission.
I would disagree with the price of admission.
Oh, man.
But it was entertaining.
Okay.
I don't think that a boxer and an MMA fighter is worth $100 for pay-per-view.
But it was the worth... One of the biggest boxers, one of the biggest MMA fighters. Fair enough.
I'm just saying I don't think any fight is worth $100 pay-per-view wise. I guess the market deems that. I'm just saying I wouldn't pay it. Let me just go there. Let me just say that.
Okay. Well, 3 million people streamed it illegally, so a lot of people didn't
pay it. And 6.5 million people paid for it. So wow. It's the highest pay-per-view.
So more than 9 million people watched that fight?
And that's not even including the people that were at like bars. Sports bars and stuff. Things like that. That's, so.
Okay, more than 9 million people streamed or...
Right. Broadcasted
the fight, yeah.
The fight itself.
Wow. That's serious.
That's ridiculous.
That's serious.
I mean, you know.
So imagine the money on that.
Yeah.
Can we do 6.5 million times 100 and then you see why Floyd walks away with $300 million?
Oh, yeah.
What's crazy is he'll probably walk away with a little bit more than that.
Right.
Because, I mean, it was his promotion. So he'll get off of that. He'll get off of the pay-per-view.
I think he ended up betting on himself. At first, they wouldn't let him. And I think he had a friend go do an $87,000 bet. I don't know if you guys heard about that.
Yeah, he mentioned that.
And they wouldn't let it ride. I mean, you know.
But he wasn't. The crazy thing is, he wasn't going to make money off of himself, though.
Yeah, the odds were
too in his favor for him to make anything. So,
a safe bet just to make a few dollars on the stuff. You know?
Pretty much. I mean, I guess when you're betting that kind of money, you'll see a few dollars back, but you know, for the average person like ourselves, you know, there's not enough there, not enough skin in the game. But all in all, it was actually an entertaining fight. You know, McGregor was a little more impressive than I thought he would have been, and I think his, you know, unorthodox style kind of had Mayweather a little confused or uneasy at the beginning. Like, a lot of people were questioning how he was going to fight, this, that, and the other. And, you know, Mayweather took a few rounds to kind of feel him out, kind of see what to expect, you know. And he took a few punches, you know. Mayweather got hit. It's not often you really see Mayweather get hit. And he took a few punches. But, you know, a lot of that came when he was really trying to figure him out.
I think you just kind of you set me up so perfect right now. That was an alley-oop. See, the reality is that when Mayweather fought Pacquiao, he was never going to come into it like, oh, I'm just going to let him hit me the first couple rounds and such and such. You know, we kept talking about him dancing and so on and so forth. With McGregor, he said it himself. He said, I'm not afraid of his punching. I'm not afraid of his punching power. He's not a boxer. He doesn't know what I know. He doesn't know what, I, you know, so on and so forth. So I'm not going to run. And he really didn't run. He was getting hit. It was pretty, but I liked it. It was worth it. It made the fight better.
Yeah, because I mean, he was actually the aggressor. Once you got out of probably the third or fourth round, he became the aggressor. Like, he started going after McGregor, and that was the one thing he said he wanted to make sure that he rewrote all the wrongs for the Mayweather the Pacquiao fight.
But he had to do that for Pacquiao. And I think a lot of people didn't realize that you know, they were upset about that, but it's like, I think they wanted to see him lose. Pacquiao is a toe-to-toe guy. If he were to go at him that way, Pacquiao, I mean, come on, he has a whole country behind him. You know what I mean? Like, he has, like, spirits or something that come out when he fights.
When he punches.
You know what I mean? So, it's not, it wouldn't.
That type of punching power and you not being that type of fighter, that's a bad strategy. But I guess I almost set myself up for what I'm about to say, because I'm about to take it to a different place when I talked about the racial disturbances. Me and Jason actually watched the fight together. And where we were, it was a diverse group of individuals in there. But if you were paying attention to everything outside of the fight and watching the boos and when McGregor was announced and Mayweather was announced, you could tell that it was a divide, as the country is right now in black and white.
Absolutely.
And so it was very interesting to see that I got caught up in that. I'm not a Floyd Mayweather fan by no stretch, but I always respect greatness. Not a Beyonce fan, but I always respect greatness.
Yep.
So in watching Mayweather, knowing he was going to win this fight and seeing so many people want him to lose, it just got me in the spirit of saying, you know what? Make sure you knock his ass out.
Right?
It made me feel like that. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a Pacquiao fan, actually, to be completely honest.
Okay.
And so as I'm watching the fight, and these people actually think McGregor was hurting Floyd, that was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it was weird, too. Amongst the people that I was around as well, I wouldn't say it was too divided. They were pretty neutral. They were right. People around were pretty neutral. And, you know, a comment was made, and it was like, y'all know who America is, right? You know, somebody said, like, y'all know who the American is in this fight, right? And it was one of those things. It's like, you know, we always talk about white, black, so on and so forth. But it was very clear.
Is it real nationalism?
We have an American versus an Irishman.
Right, right.
Like, it's hard to pick out who you're supposed to.
So it's really just black and white. It has nothing to do with country.
Ain't that some crazy stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it shows its true self in a lot of different ways. I think Charlottesville is an example. I think McGregor Mayweather is an example. The Kaepernick situation is an example where it shows us the true nature of this country.
Your boy threw him a bone today, by the way.
Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. He threw him a bone.
Which he should have.
Yeah. Let's look at the numbers, though. Let's look at the numbers here. So we got total punches. McGregor threw 430 punches that fight. And he landed on 111, which is a big deal for a Mayweather fight.
Mayweather 111 times. That's interesting.
Exactly, but we all can agree.
Pacquiao hit him 81 times.
Correct, but we all can agree that that Mayweather was kind of allowing that to happen to a certain extent.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go there 90% that him. The term would be in boxing, walking him down, mean he walked in the punches.
Correct, and so that's 26% that McGregor was. Whereas Mayweather threw 320 punches and landed 170 of them. If you're doing power punches, he landed 152 power punches out of 200.
He didn't throw really any jabs the entire fight.
Yeah, he threw 59.
He was going to knock him out. Like, that was his sole purpose of trying to knock McGregor out.
But do we realize that the reason why Floyd, and I told Jason this at the fight, he hasn't knocked, he only knocked
26?
Four people out in the last 12 years? And the reason that is because Floyd has really, really bad hands. And that's been an issue for a very, very long time. His hands are very brittle. He still has the hand speed. But a lot of times when you're fighting for so long, obviously you're going to start having problems with your hands. My father was talking about this. And so if you think about his first fights, if we were to break that down into numbers and say, okay, let's take 12 years of fighting, only four knockouts, but then go... How long has his career been? Like 21 years? So 9 years before that, he got 22 knockouts at that point in time. And people say he can't punch.
Something had to have changed.
You understand what I'm saying? So, it's a big deal when you've been doing this since I think he's about 6 years old.
Yeah.
And really doing it.
Isn't that crazy?
Really doing it.
People don't really look at the whole story with him. Even still. But notice, okay, so we got it. We understood that aspect.
Oh, let me just say this, too. Stephen A. Smith was saying that Floyd was missing on a lot of punches. I don't know if you guys watch First Take. And
I work.
I'm in work attire right now. You people can't see me. But anyway, so he said Floyd was missing a lot of punches, but he connected on 53% of his punches. Yeah. I think Floyd's all-time stats are 40%.
Yeah.
So if he was missing a lot of punches, but he still landed better than he did with Pacquiao, Zab Judah, Canelo.
Who said this again?
Stephen A.
Yeah, he's been kind of.
So it was just throwing me off to say that the man looked old, but and Floyd has one of the best connect percentages of all time. And so if you hit, just imagine this: every two times I throw a punch, I hit you.
Yeah.
And you look at McGregor's
25.
Come on. Yeah. So you got to throw four punches to hit me once.
Yeah.
And you're throwing punches like hammer
fist.
Yeah, he would have been disqualified. Had he not been McGregor, he would have been disqualified for that.
Right.
And the ref really kind of gave him some leeway, a lot of leeway.
Well, the ref had to, because there's no way with the amount of hype this fight had that he could have ended this on a disqualification.
I would have been terrible. Drop him,
you know how many people would have been upset. Like, it would have been an uproar.
Yeah, it would have been they couldn't have done it.
So Stephen A. Smith, you're wrong on that. 53% is the highest I've ever seen in my life, actually.
See, when let's to give McGregor some credit though.
Absolutely.
To go 10 rounds, you know, to go 10 rounds is a testament to the stamina. He lasted longer than we thought. It's much longer than what he would have. If it was a UFC fight, it would have been over. You know, there would have 20 minutes of that fight would have been gone if it was a UFC fight. And that's saying a lot. And I think in terms of from what I saw, maybe it's because, you know, we could say because Floyd was this, whatever. Yeah, but I think even Floyd gave him some credit after. Like, you know, he was better than I thought.
When he was switching stances.
Yes.
And then he would come back and jab two or three times. That was throwing Floyd off a little bit.
I think that McGregor would have a decent regular boxing career if he wanted to do that.
I think he would have had to start at 20 and not
29. I think he's a little too old to try to start now. Because, I mean, even if you look at his work ethic and his training for boxing, it's not there. For MMA, we'll give it to him. Like, he knows his craft. But for boxing, he's not there. He would literally have to dedicate
the next 3 to 5 years
to really become 34. A boxer. And by then, he's going to be too old to do the sport.
But he has the skill set.
He does have the skill set. And, I mean, he was a much better boxer than I anticipated. Like, I didn't expect him.
He was still awkward as a bad boxer.
You know who could have done better?
Good as an awkward boxer.
You know who could have done better?
Who?
Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
He's an Olympic boxer.
If the weight classes would have permitted such a situation.
Well, yeah. Well, isn't he middleweight?
Well, Anderson Silva's about 185.
Yeah, Anderson's a little bigger than.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's much
so. So the middleweight division is different. Like, middleweight in boxing is like 160.
Okay. Because I feel like for this fight, didn't Floyd have to come up in weight?
Floyd's fought at 154 before.
But he had to come up for this fight because McGregor was already.
He's fought at that weight.
I mean, he used to fight at that weight.
Yeah, so what
right. do you mean? But I'm saying, I feel like, I could have sworn in like his last few fights wasn't at that weight. It was at a lower weight.
I could have
sworn
he was 47.
I was just talking about in terms of skill set.
I understand.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I'm talking about in terms of skill
set. So he would have to fight somebody like Andre Ward.
You get what I'm
saying? Anderson Silva.
That's what I'm saying, because all I'm saying is that when you're watching. When you're watching McGregor and you're seeing what he was able to do, even though, you know,
are you asking if it can translate from somebody else? Like if John Jones was to fight, let's say, a cruiserweight, because we watched, what was the guy's name? I messed up his name a few times.
Oh,
Jack.
Bodu?
Yeah.
Bodo?
So let's just say John Jones was to fight somebody like that. Do we think he could stand in the ring and punch?
Maybe. I don't know. John Jones is a freak, though.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I would give John Jones a better chance than I ever give Conor McGregor striking, even though Conor McGregor's a good striker too.
The only thing is there's so many things that John Jones uses that he couldn't use. Like, he's a big elbow guy.
Yeah.
But that's the same thing with McGregor though. If you ever watch his fights, McGregor's big using his elbow as well. And that was one thing I was concerned that I thought it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And if you really watched the fight, if you really watched the fight, there were a couple of times where you could see he was turning his hips like he was getting ready to make a kick, and it's like he caught himself. Like, there was a few times where his MMA came out.
I respect that. That's why I'm saying, is this not a win for MMA, even though he lost?
I mean, you know how people say that a win's a win and a loss is a loss. Yeah. There are no more victories in sports.
Yeah.
If I'm gonna hold true to that, then no. But honestly, I think that this was the best this fight could have actually have been.
Right.
It saved. It didn't tarnish boxing, and it actually put MMA's, I guess, best star in a positive light.
Yes.
Against a great.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Fair enough. I don't think you could have said it any better than that. I think it couldn't be better than what it was.
Because if Conor would have beat him.
It would have been like the end of the world.
And then, you know, the funny thing about anything that would happen in that fight, the supporters of the other fighter already had their excuses on deck.
Yeah.
If McGregor would have won, he's 40. He couldn't have did that to Canelo. He couldn't have did that to Triple G. He couldn't have done that to Errol Spence Jr. And so, and then obviously with McGregor losing, everybody was like, well, obviously Floyd's a
exactly.
monster.
Exactly. They were expecting him to
lose. Right. So everybody already had their excuses on deck. And I feel like for like 2 or 3 days, like people were still like trying to give Conor like moral victories.
Yeah, it was amazing. you lasted 10 rounds in his ring, but he wouldn't last one round in the cage.
That's not how Floyd fights. It's about winning. Floyd won the way he thought he should win. And he didn't even fight the way that we're used to him fighting. So that just goes to show that
He switched it up.
Right, and if Floyd was 30 years old, he would have knocked him out in the fifth or the fourth
Floyd,
round.
Young Floyd would have handled that. That's the first thing I noticed. I was like, 29, 40. Oh, man, I forgot he was 40 years old. Oh, my God. Yeah, but he don't act like a 40-year-old. I mean, not saying there's a specific way you have to act, but I'm just saying.
In the ring, I know what 40 looks like, and it didn't look like Floyd.
Definitely not.
I'm just saying, even Floyd would have lost to a lot of young fighters that night. But at the same time, Floyd has gracefully aged in the ring unlike any other fighter. And we can bring up the Muhammad Ali's, the Sugar Ray Leonard's, the Sugar Ray Robinson's, and the like, and say that they're greater boxers than Floyd Mayweather. But when they got old, they got old.
Yep, Roy Jones.
They got old.
That's the one that always hurt me the
right.
most.
Yeah, he got old quick, too. And the thing about it is,
at 35, Floyd was still the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. At 38... he beat a top five fighter. You can't say that about those greats I just named, Roy Jones, Ray Leonard, Ray Robinson, Muhammad Ali.
The only blemish that they'll say is that he beat a lot of his top fighters, a lot of the top fighters when they were old.
I could go for that. But at the same time, they had the same thing he had going for themselves. Like Pacquiao was still the next time Pacquiao fought somebody, he knocked him out and it was a young fighter.
By Arturo. Remember, didn't he fight Gotti or whatever his name is?
Who? Pacquiao?
No, Mayweather.
No. I'm saying after he beat Pacquiao, and people say Pacquiao was old. Uh-huh. But Pacquiao went out and beat Chris Algieri, which was a decent fighter, and he knocked him out. And Pacquiao was an older guy. It's been several examples of these people saying the people he beat were old, but these people kept fighting for 4 or 5 years and winning.
Thing. Yeah, and still did their thing.
Fair enough. I just think that people should give. I know people don't like Floyd, but they don't give him enough credit for aging.
But you know what? With that fight, I still felt you saw Floyd's age, though.
You saw it in the fact that if he was younger, he would have ended it quicker.
But you know what? Not to cut you off, I think he even saw his age in that fight, and that's why he damn sure made sure he said, I'm not fighting no more, so none of you young guys try to call me out. I'm retired. I'm done.
I think he was done regardless.
I know he was done regardless, but I think if he would have had maybe a better showing in his mind, because I feel like at the end of it, he's happy he won, but I feel like he might be a little upset about
his performance.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think he knew that he was going to take punches because of what he wanted to give the fans. Floyd has not fought like that in a very, very long time. And when he did fight like that, he was very, very young. And so what I'm saying is the punches that we're saying he took were a part of his strategy in terms of not to say he was trying to get hit, but he knew that to do what he wanted to do, the probability of him being hit was a lot greater.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get what everybody's saying in terms of he looked older. Obviously, he is older. But at the same time, I still seen a Floyd Mayweather when he wanted to duck and slip punches, he did. I didn't see a Floyd Mayweather get beat up.
No, not at all.
No, definitely not.
That's what I seen from a old Sugar Ray get beat up by like Terry Norris and Hector Macho Camacho. I've seen all these great fighters in their late 30s or mid 30s going into their 40s look old.
Yeah.
And when I say look old, it's not just look. They took physical punishment. There was not one point in that fight where I thought Floyd Mayweather was in trouble.
Me neither.
Oh, no. I mean, there was that never happened.
So that's what I see in an old fighter. I'd be like, yo. Like, when Larry Holmes was beating up Muhammad Ali, I felt sorry when I seen that film. Because it was just like, yo, was this the onset of his Parkinson's? Like, to see him get hit in his head that many times, you know? So it was just an interesting situation, to say the least. There was so many layers to it in terms of him being old, McGregor being the best in his sport, McGregor doing better than we thought, Floyd knocking somebody out for the first time in a long time. I thought it had its moments.
Okay. I mean, to kind of wrap things up, though, on this, I just want to say the one person that I feel the most sorry for in regards to this situation, though, is whoever has to fight Conor McGregor next in the octagon. Because whatever fight he's going to have the next...
I think he learned a lot in his fight, boxing-wise.
Yeah, I think he's going
to... Oh, yeah, he's going to have a much stronger stand-up game.
Yeah, he's going to savage somebody.
And he's been knocking people out in MMA.
I don't want to be that guy.
And that's why they call it striking.
Yes.
It's not boxing.
Yeah, that's why they call it striking. Definitely. All right, so let's jump into, you know, our wonderful, wonderful sponsor before we jump into our one of my favorite segments, just in case. So tell us a little bit about
this. Next segment is sponsored by Absolute, powered by Life Sports Fitness. I want everybody to go to www.lifesportsfitness.org or www.antibullyingbuddy.com for more information on our sponsors. Absolute is doing a lot of things right now. He has a comic book out called Keep Dreaming. He has an anti-bullying campaign, and all his music is positive and refreshing for the community. And Life Sports Fitness is a nonprofit organization that has many programs, after-school programs, full-day camps, sailing, tennis. They actually just started an entrepreneurship program, so check them out. And we just want to give a special shout-out to our sponsors, Absolute, powered by Life Sports Fitness.
All right. Talk to me, Jason.
All right, guys. We're about to hit up Just In Case. So just in case any of you missed any of this information that's happened over the last few days or into last week. So a little soccer. Ronaldo wins UEFA Player of the Year. It's a big thing to him. Yeah, again. Dabo Sweeney, head coach for Clemson, got a contract extension, 8 years, $54 million. Michael Vick is going to join Fox as an analyst. So he's hanging up the cleats. Patriots star receiver Julian Edelman, torn ACL, out for the year. So all you fantasy people, Chris Hogan and Danny Amendola.
Draft Brandon Cooks like
that. And
I
Brandon am. Cooks, those are your go-tos. The Bucks are kind of waiting behind the scenes to see what happens with the Cavs and Boston in this trade. But I'll leave it there.
What trade?
Talking about the Kyrie Isaiah trade that's still looming out there. So for all of you that haven't heard, trade still hasn't gone through yet because of Isaiah Thomas's hip injury. So we'll get into that a little bit later. Andy Murray, tennis star, withdraws from the U.S. Open with a hip injury. Seems like everybody is having hip injuries these days. The Cleveland Browns, they've named DeShone Kizer the starting quarterback over Brock Osweiler. Matthew Stafford is now the highest paid quarterback in NFL history with a 5-year deal worth $135 million.
Hold on, pause on that. Not just the highest paid quarterback, but the highest paid player.
Oh, highest paid player.
That's crazy. A lot of people, can we stay on that real quick just for like a few minutes?
Yeah, man.
A lot of people were upset about this at first, but I mean, how do you feel? You know, I saw a particular graphic that showed, you know, him, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and it talked about how Matthew Stafford had zero playoff wins.
Correct.
And so a lot of people were like, well, how is the guy with, you know, the highest paid guy, how does he have no playoff wins? But in his defense, a lot of people were saying that, like, Matthew Stafford is the only reason why Detroit wins any games, really. Do you agree with that? Yeah, so is he really – do you think he's deserving of this? Or, you know, some people are saying it, some people are
not. Well, then you have to still look at – I mean, before this happened, Derek Carr was the highest paid, and he hasn't won a playoff game either.
But he's also been playing a lot less than Matthew Stafford.
So, I mean, so what? Then what does that mean? You're putting your faith in – something you're hoping to be when at least Matthew Stafford has proved that he's a winner for the last however many years.
That's pretty fair point, sir.
So, you know.
Pretty fair point.
I think at the end of the day, what it boils down to is not who's the best on the field. It boils down to football as a business and age and what's happening at the time in terms of the market matters. So if the quarterback market is climbing to unprecedented heights in terms of salary and income, that's what's going to happen when the next prime franchise quarterback comes up for a contract. So if he would have hit the street, if he would have became a free agent, he would have got the same amount of money or more. Somebody would have been dying to pay him.
Okay. So instead of letting him run away, you know, lock him down and pay the good quarterback what he needs to get made.
Because that's what he is. He's a good quarterback. He's not great. He's a good quarterback.
So you don't you put him in what, second tier?
Absolutely.
So he's not a first-tier quarterback?
Well, define first-tier.
We got Aaron Rodgers. We got
Tom Brady.
We got Drew Brees is a tier one.
Okay. Then, no, he's not there. No. He's second-tier. He's with the Matt Ryans and the I guess
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Russell Wilson.
Maybe the Joe Flacco's of the world a few years ago.
They say Joe Flacco's tier three now.
That's why I said a few years ago.
I caught that.
I had to preface my statement.
But right, you know what? Speaking of Joe Flacco, he's actually resumed throwing, so he's coming back off of that injury. And last but not least, Joe Hayden was cut by the Browns today. Two-time Pro Bowler with the Browns. He was cut. He was free to sign with any team after 4 p.m. He's already found a new home. Signed with the Steelers. So my pick for the Super Bowl coming out the AFC just
got better.
Yeah, and they kind of needed some help in the secondary, actually. They got some young guys out there, already Burns from the U. But Joe Hayden will definitely make them a lot better.
I was actually hoping they were going to get him down here in Miami. I was hoping for that one.
Miami's looking nice, man. They won all their little playoff games, their little preseason games, right? They did all.
No. No, they didn't.
They didn't win. No, who won all their preseason games? The Browns won all their preseason games.
The Browns,
did they really?
Yeah.
I know they were 2-0 the last time we had this
conversation. Yeah, they won all their preseason games. But what I mean is, I'm sorry, Miami looked really good, like really good. Some people are even saying that their receiver trio might be better in terms of just chemistry than the Giants' receiver trio.
I can go for that for chemistry because Sterling Shepard is a rookie and he didn't play all of last season, and then Brandon Marshall hasn't been there, so I can go for that.
Yeah.
Stills
is
Parker,
nice. Yeah.
And Landry, each have a different skill set. Even though Landry and Stills are like the same size to some degree, they play a lot different. Stills is more of a home run threat. Landry plays more in the middle in the slot, and he does his damage on like trick plays and stuff like that. And Parker's like that big body receiver that can kind of make some things happen.
Do you think that their improvements on the line will be enough for them to compete in their division? I mean, at least wild card, if anything, and do
they
something.
Won't be able.
Wait, time out. I don't understand why every Patriots, single man. Week. This is the third week in a row. You keep talking about Dolphins and wild card. I'm telling you, the Dolphins are winning the division this year. End of story. Let's move on. Next.
Anything else on Just In Case, bro?
That's it.
That was it. We locked it down. Man. All right, cool. So then let's jump into this trade, man. So last week we spent the whole show almost talking about a trade that might not happen. And that's the trade between Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder and Aziz, whatever his name is.
Whoever this unknown guy is.
That guy in a first round pick. So anyways, it's crazy because basically when Isaiah got to the physical, he there was some concerns about his hip, thinking that he might not come back to the Isaiah Thomas that we saw last year. And obviously the Cavs have a chance to renege on everything and just keep Kyrie. If the trade falls apart, it seems like it's going to affect the Celtics a little more than it's going to necessarily affect the Cavs. Because listen, if you send Isaiah Thomas and Crowder back, that's a whole. The morale is gone. They were burning this dude's jersey. They was doing all kinds of stuff after this dude played. And then we didn't say that last week, but after his sister died, he went out there and
I don't think anybody would have blamed him for not playing.
But first of all, and I as much as I'm not a LeBron fan, I big up for the fact that he came out and say, like, how are you burning this man's jersey when he got traded? He had no choice in what was happening. It was a business decision, and Boston decided to part ways with him. So why are the fans burning his jersey? I could understand if he up and left, free agent, you're upset.
Hold on, Jason.
I still don't understand the burning of the jersey thing. I still think that's ridiculous.
Okay, I was about to say, because I can't understand that part.
Right, I don't understand that. But,
It makes more sense.
It makes more sense if he decided, I'm a free agent now. I'd rather go to Cleveland than stay in Boston. But the man got traded, so I don't understand why people felt the need to burn his jersey when.
Nah, you're right.
Every day something happens in our society to further let us know that people are delusional.
Yeah. Nonstop. But now if that trade falls apart, you already kind of mentioned it in Just In Case. There's obviously the Milwaukee Bucks who kind of jumped into it a little bit, saying that their deal would be centered around Malcolm Brogdon and Chris Middleton. If you think of that lineup for Cleveland, it's not a bad lineup or anything like that. But do you think it's enough for Kyrie Irving. Now you're matching Kyrie up with Giannis and all that. That's scary.
Yeah, I don't know enough about Brogdon yet.
Reigning rookie of the year. So I mean,
again, I don't know enough about him.
But you know what?
Chris Middleton is decent.
He's decent, but he's also coming off of injury. Yes. So that may play a factor in what he can really do. That's definitely not going to give you that defensive.
Give me Thon Maker.
But it's not going to give you. But you got to remember, it's not going to give you that defensive presence that Crowder was going to give them.
No.
And they're going to lack the scoring because Brogdon isn't going to put up the kind of points Kyrie put up, or he's not going to put up the kind of points.
He'll be the playmaker that LeBron is always crying about.
Right, he'll definitely do that. And for Cleveland, they're going to get
size.
They're going to get that young, and they're going to get that young talent that they really wanted back out of this deal.
Right, he's actually younger than Kyrie.
Well, yeah. Obviously.
Well, I didn't say it like it was, you know, revolutionary.
You did.
I
mean, the reigning rookie of the year.
The point was young.
We
talent.
Knew he was younger than Kyrie.
No, you know, there's some rookies that are older than Kyrie. There have been rookies older than.
They didn't win rookie of the year.
I mean,
it's possible, Jason.
You guys are hilarious right now. Listen,
Thon Maker.
Now, Thon Maker. Wow. No, that's true though. Good point. But anyways. Anyways, Boston could close this deal if they just give up Tatum.
They'd never do it.
Why not?
Tatum is going to be their future.
Tatum's dope, but...
Tatum is who, in the next, I'll say, 3 to 5 years...
Don't start talking crazy.
...is who they're probably going to start building around.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Never mind. Wait, what are you going to say?
Nothing.
I just thought you were about to go off the deep end.
Yeah, because I've been watching a whole bunch of stuff on Tatum. I'm like, yeah, he's good. I still think D Nice is better than him.
But I think, but for Boston, if you look at their team now, in 3 to 5 years, he's going to be their centerpiece.
Yeah.
As long as he continues to get better. I mean, obviously, if he takes a step back, then we're talking a different story, but. He'll definitely be their centerpiece, and I don't think they want to get rid of that talent because, I mean, there's a lot of potential there.
You're 100% right. So, I mean, guys, do you think
100%.
This deal? 100%. No, he's 100% right. Do you think
if
that
if Kyrie's there, you're not 100% right?
No, if Kyrie's they're still going to build around. You think they're going to build around a point guard? That doesn't work. We already know that doesn't work. It didn't work with Jason Kidd. You think it's going to work with Kyrie Irving?
You didn't think it worked with Jason
Kidd? No, it didn't work. Didn't they get swept?
I'm saying, hold on, whoa.
Jason Kidd, when the Nets built around Jason Kidd.
With Kenyon Martin.
They got to the finals and what happened?
But look who they played.
You're right, but it happened more than one time.
Stop whispering.
It happened both times.
So you're saying that no team would ever build around a point guard?
If you're gonna say the Lakers, that's not true. They built around Kareem. Magic was complimentary to that. And then when they went to the finals again, I know, but I can't think of another one that you could have possibly said.
So the Lakers aren't doing that now?
Around Ball?
You made a face like
that. Ball just got there, bro. How they building around got there?
But we're talking about Tatum and he just got in Boston. So,
but he's not a point guard though.
You're right. He's a player. My point is...
Oh, man.
My point is, if you can build around Tatum, you can build around Ball. And I see a lot more in Ball than I see in Tatum. That's all I was saying. And if Kyrie is in Boston, that team is getting built around Kyrie and not Tatum. That was my only point. In 3 years, when Kyrie is 28, they're focusing on his concerns, not Tatum's concerns.
I disagree with that.
There's only one team I could think of that was building around a point guard.
Hold on. And Tatum might not even be good enough for them to consider his point.
I know.
Well, I mean, exactly.
Consider
his
opinions.
there's one team, and I'm glad you brought this up, but there's one team that I could think of, and I would say that'd be Detroit.
Steve Nash.
The Detroit Pistons would
So Phoenix wasn't built around Steve Nash?
And won, man. I'm talking about and won and did well and, like, went further.
Boston will never win, so what difference does it make? We're talking about Jason Tatum.
You know what exactly I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you're trying to win, like if you're trying to win the cup, you know, the championship. You know, you're not building around your point guard. You're gonna build around something a little bit more. You know, because it's just not.
What else do you build around? So you're basically saying you got to build around the three or you got to build around the five.
generally, if you have either one of those, if you have a solid five, you have some interior defense and some inside scoring, which creates foul trouble, creates bad matchups. So if you have a solid three, you have somebody who can generally cover multiple positions, mm-hmm. and then can generally get to the line easier and usually can body people, so on and so forth. Point guards can do a lot of damage, and don't get me wrong, a great point guard is an asset, but just as much as I love Chris Paul, they try to build around Chris Paul and never worked.
You know why?
Why?
This was the Kobe, LeBron, man. Tim Duncan era, and he just got caught up in that.
If you won't blame it on those other players, I think historically speaking, it's just never
That's
been
5'5" and 3.
I think how basketball, long? The shortest guy shouldn't be the guy that you build your whole team around.
But let me just say this. That's, you know, I just mentioned 13 championships. Chris Paul's been in the league, 11 years? He got caught up in that.
Okay.
So while the two of you been yapping, yeah. Cleveland and Boston have reached an agreement, according to league sources.
This just happened.
Just happened.
Breaking news.
So that agreement, we don't know if Boston had to toss in another pick or anything like that. Because
they were already giving up too much.
But then
I felt like they were giving up too much as well. Yeah. I mean, so, yeah, you know, whenever they decide.
Yapping, Chris, we weren't discussing.
Yeah, I know. Jason always got some kind of terminology for us, man.
Just saying.
Okay. Anyways, we do got some stuff to do, though. Jason actually about to put it down real quick. We gotta hit up a segment that we haven't been able to hit up recently, but we're about to hit it up right now. And to kind of set it up, I'm going to set it up like this. Hold up. I'm going to need you to hook it up real quick because, yeah. 1 second, guys. Technical difficulties. In 3, 2, 1.
What?
About them Gators. Talk to me, Jason.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I'm about to give a breakdown of the Gators, courtesy of my boy Jimmy T. So he did all the work. So I'm just going to read it for him, since you know he couldn't.
I appreciate the fact that he graduated from college and he knows how to cite. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, what is this APA? What is this MLA?
MLA format. So my boy did all the work. So I'm just going to read it off for him, since he couldn't be here tonight. So he said, you know, two big questions surrounding Gators football this season. How will the defense fare after losing 7 starters? The obvious glaring hole since Tim Tebow left, can they get a consistent and productive play from the quarterback position? So the defense in the secondary lost Quincy Wilson to the Colts, Tez Tabor to the Lions, Marcus May to the Jets. Also lost Marcel Harris, leading tackler last year, for the season, Achilles tendon. So Duke Dawson will hold down to one side at cornerback, moving over from the nickel. Nick Washington will step in at safety, has played a ton of football behind some really good safeties, and Neal and May, both of which are in the NFL. Chauncey Gardner was supposed to be the man opposite of Duke Dawson, but will move back to safety due to the Harris injury. Marco Wilson, true freshman cornerback, Quincy Wilson's little brother, is getting the nod opposite of Duke, has had a great camp, quick feet, big, physical, and versatile. He will move into the nickel in bigger defensive back packages, and Justin Patu Sr. will replace him. Names to watch: Jawan Taylor at safety, played in 10 games last year. If he shows he can communicate better, that could be a move. That could move Gardner back to cornerback. Donovan Steiner, true freshman, could push Patu for depth at the outside cornerback position. Linebackers, this group is young but played a lot last 4 years due to injuries. 4 really talented players will rotate, but very thin behind those 4. Can't afford to lose anyone. Lost Jared Davis to the Lions, Alex Anzalone to the Saints. David Reese might be the most pure tackler of this group, but has to shore up gap integrity. I'm sorry.
He's thinking about his teaching days.
Vaseen Joseph, a thumper, good in coverage. Communication is key. See the hit on LSU's Danny Etling. Moon gets the nod over Johnson after having a great camp. Long, athletic, sideline to sideline linebacker. Kylan Johnson, the X factor of the group. Good in coverage. Was a safety in high school. He will be used all over the field in nickel and dime packages. The D line. This group should be solid, but really help out the young secondary. CC Jefferson, Gators are expecting a monster year out of the end. Jabari Zaninga broke out early last year at the other DN, then tapered off. An offseason of getting stronger should help. More pass rushers to watch. Clayton Sherritt Carter may move inside and out, providing depth across the line. Tavon Bryan, D-tackle, will take over for Caleb Brantley, who was drafted by the Browns. Super talented, probably more than Brantley. Had issues playing within the defense. Coaches say he has that shirt up, so hopefully that's looking good. Polite has a lot of buzz surrounding him at the other D-tackle spot. Brings the edge, energy, and the shit-talking to the line. Freshman Kyrie Campbell seems to have added himself to the rotation as well. Now to the offense. O-line. Coach Mack has repeatedly said this is the strength of his team. The O-line has gotten better off to camp so far. We'll see. Ivy moves over to left tackle, his natural position. Played at guard for the majority of his first two seasons. Jawan Taylor will man the right tackle position. Tyler Jordan, left guard. Fred Johnson, right guard. TJ McCoy at center. Running backs. This is where it's going to get interesting. The Gators do have a strong group. Jordan Scarlett was supposed to be the starter, but he just recently got suspended today. So we're going to be looking at Pirine, who will be our second back to at least have to take over the duties on Saturday against Michigan. Coach Mack says he wants the three guys to contribute. With that being said, Mark Thompson was a disappointment last year. Comparisons to Derrick Henry coming out of JUCO, runs too high and had fumbling issues. Look for Malik Davis to pass Thompson on a depth chart. True freshman out of Tampa, hits the hole hard, breaks tackles, and has the speed to take it to the house. Wide receivers and tight ends. Antonio Callaway, which is Gators' star wide receiver, he's also suspended for this first game against Michigan. He is actually projected to be a top 10 pick, but we'll see how that happens with quarterback play and how he handles this suspension. Tyree Cleveland came on towards the end of last year. Big and fast, definitely the biggest deep threat for this group. Senior Brandon Powell will be in the slot. Key for his success is for the quarterback to get him out into space. Dre Macy will be everywhere, was supposed to be the X factor in last year's offense. Tore his ACL in the first half of the first game, received a medical red shirt. Names to watch, sophomores Josh Hammond and Freddie Swain. My pick to ball out this year, according to Jimmy. Also, true freshman Tony will get some Wildcat packages as quarterback. Tight end Goolsby and Lewis are both talented receivers, should have good year catching the ball. Blocking is a concern for both. Spent all offseason getting stronger and working on technique. So, let's see. Who's going to throw to them? As you all know, Malik Zaire transferred from Notre Dame. But funny enough, Felipe Franks, redshirt freshman, was named a starter today. Luke Del Rio is still on the roster. He knows the playbook better than anyone, but he's coming off of a shoulder surgery. Max says it's even across the board. But like I said, Felipe Franks was named the starter this year. Zaire will bring athleticism to the position. And, you know, we'll see. But Franks has the big arm and has become more accurate since arriving in Gainesville. At 6'6", he can see the field and has knowledge of the playbook since he was an early enrollee last year. His talent matches the receiving talent around him. He will make mistakes but has the biggest upside of the three. Prediction, 9-3, including a loss in the SEC championship. So that's the
first game.
Michigan, Saturday. You know, I'm going with a win. I feel we're going to start off the year strong. We actually have the longest streak of wins to open the season.
So when you say we.
The Gators. The Florida Gators.
I understand. When you say
the Florida Gators.
You're an alum of the Gators.
The ask your question.
Yeah, why are you doing this?
I'm just saying. You keep saying
because you never, you never really said that.
Yeah,
I'm just I was reading my report from a boy.
You said we, and
that put it together.
Who's your favorite college football team, Jason?
Florida Gators.
Okay, then.
Okay, that's all I want.
That's
to know.
All we want.
Is that because
you
went to the school?
Oh my goodness gracious!
I'm just asking a question.
Yes, it is. It is. It is. It's because I went to the school.
Secret?
But you know, it's not a secret
wait,
at all.
You said that? Like,
I mean,
but he's a grad of the same.
But you know, but what's crazy is I used to be a diehard Canes fan. I still like the Canes.
That's why I was trying to figure out because as kids, I've been trying
and
to
my first
out
two my first 2 years my first 2 years in Gainesville it took a while for me. To actually convert into a Gator. And I eventually did. So
it's not like they're a bad Gators. Team.
Who?
And when you went there, they probably were killing it. I think when you were going there, they were probably working
when I was there, I mean, we won the 2 national championships. Yeah. And then we also won the 2 in basketball as well. So, I mean, it was an exciting time.
It was probably hard to not be a Gators fan back then.
I understand. I just didn't know what we meant because I know him to be from Miami. And a Gaines fan. And a graduate of FAU. So, I'm just trying to find out what we meant. That was it. But see, Jason doesn't like to be challenged. You see how he got? Because he does this shit to us all the time.
I'm good. I'm chilling.
Anyways, we're wrapping this one up. Oh, man, good job, man. Listen, it read like a book report, but I do know a little bit more
about
the
game. Hey, you know what I respect the most, though?
What about?
How he just came out of the gate. This is the MVP. You know, with the citation. You know,
yeah, man. He definitely cited his source. Shout out to source citing right now. No fake news.
You know,
because
you know a lot of people out here plagiarizing everything copying people posts and acting like they philosophers.
You know, saying their speeches at national conventions and stuff like that. You know, you name it, man. It's just like it's a normal thing to do. But anyway, so now we got to jump into a segment you guys are familiar with already. So. All right. So we are jumping into the last segment in terms of the division.
Time out.
What's up?
Oh.
So what Boston sent to complete the trade
update.
Was a second round pick in 2020. So that was it.
Okay, so they kept everything plus they added another pick.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Dun, 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 dun.
No, we're good.
Good.
So we got to finish things up, and so we're traveling to the West Coast. We're traveling all the way to the best coast to see what's up. You know how they say it. West is the best.
West side is the best side.
Hey. You already know, man. Listen.
They got earthquakes over there. Not fond of that.
Yeah, me neither. I'm not fond of the earthquakes neither.
Look, but I can prepare for a hurricane. Yeah, I can't prepare for an earthquake.
The ground moving.
The ground's not supposed to move.
Correct.
So there's definitely a lot of teams to talk about in regards to the AFC and NFC West. Where do you guys want to start, though?
Let's start. Oh, we always start in the basement and then we go to the attic. So
no, but which conference? Which conference?
Yeah, what's
going?
The basement on this one? I don't know.
Well, then we might as well go NFC
West.
Yeah, because the 49th.
And then move on because they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, we'll do that. we'll do that. That's then, so savage. Okay, hold on.
Really, off the top of your head, name one person on the San Francisco 49ers. Go.
Dang. Blaine Gabbert.
Good job, Jason.
Yeah, I couldn't.
That's terrible.
I couldn't.
Well, but isn't Carlos Hyde still there?
Yeah,
because the guy I was going to say wasn't there anymore. So I was like,
Ahmad Brooks is just got cut and he's playing for Green Bay. He was a longtime person there. Yeah, they're just really bad.
All right, but do you want to start with them?
Yeah, we have to.
We can't just say next?
We can.
All right.
We could do them like we did the Bears, even though I've never been to San Francisco, so I can't say places to go.
Maybe you shouldn't go. You're a married man.
Golden Gate Bridge. All right, moving on.
They got young talent. Let's not be assholes.
Who
right
did they
now,
pick
okay?
in the draft?
I feel so
unprepared to talk about the worst team in the league. Actually, can we agree that this may be the worst? You know what should happen?
What?
They should have a Super Bowl for the worst team in the league, and the Jets should play the Niners. Would you guys watch that?
No.
No.
I really wouldn't.
It's like a preseason game, right?
It's worse than that. It might be a high school game.
Wow. Man.
You think Alabama could beat the Jets or the 49ers this year? Like, let's just say you got the best Alabama version of itself over the last 10 years, and you threw Julio Jones, Mark Ingram, Brody Croyle, and you just put that all together. You think they could beat?
But now you're putting in sucks. NFL players. Yeah. So
no, in their time, like when they were playing.
I mean,
think they could beat the Niners?
They could probably beat the Niners, the Browns, the Jets.
The Browns are gonna be true this year.
How y'all feel about Brian Hoyer? All right, fine. Let's stop.
He's like Luke McCown.
How many games? How many games?
Two.
One.
All right, Max.
That's terrible.
There's
nothing to say about the 49ers.
I don't even want to like this.
Who did they pick in the draft? That's all I want to know.
Maybe somebody on defense.
They had a very, very, very high pick.
They had to.
And they'll have a very, very high pick next year.
All right, let's go to the Rams. The Jeff Fisher era is over. It's now going to the Sean McVay. And he's mad young, right? He's like in his 30s or something.
I think he's the youngest.
Jason's older than Sean McVay.
He's the youngest head coach in NFL. And what was the point of saying that?
I know, right? Dang.
Like, for real?
Dang.
Hold on.
I mean,
Hold on.
Did that have to do with anything?
No. Let's take 2 seconds. 2 seconds. No, seriousness. Wow, shut up, Floyd.
That's funny.
And in all seriousness.
That's funny.
Jason takes, like, the hardest shots.
You want to hit mute?
You button, bro?
Dude, learn how to work a laptop. And you sit here talking about. This is a guy now that's got about 5 or 6 jobs and can't figure out how to use a laptop.
He just made me a Mexican. You see how Connor said
that? Why you had to call out?
You see how Connor said.
Stay on topic.
Connor said, "Hey, look, I made him fight like
a Mexican."
Moving on, Rams.
Can we talk about?
I'm sorry, Jason. It was just there on the tip of my tongue. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it just came out. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean anything by it. So the next time he takes a shot at me, I hope we take 5 minutes to address my feelings about Jason.
Man, we're still into your feelings right now.
Okay,
Lord have mercy.
Go ahead, Rams. McVay.
Yeah, man. Basically, the upside for them, obviously, we're gonna see Goff come into his own.
What happened to Gurley though?
I wouldn't say what happened to him. We got to see what he does this year.
I mean, he had a sophomore slump, to say the least.
Okay.
Do we not agree with that?
Yes, no, definitely. I agree with that.
How you feel about that?
I mean, I feel there was a lot of pressure on him, though. You know, their line really wasn't there to block like he needed. And the weight of that team, I felt, was on him.
Okay.
Because Tavon Austin didn't do anything. Who else was their receiver last year?
Kenny Britt, no. Brian Quick, I think.
Yeah. I mean, none of them did anything. You know, you were hoping.
Their defense is pretty good.
Okay, but
their defense isn't bad.
But now they have Watkins.
Okay.
Right? They're going to, you know,
Sammy Watkins is pretty good when he's healthy.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of excited to see what they're going to do with that. You know,
they have to figure out what they're going to do with
it. Who's the other guy they got? They got Robert Woods.
Yeah, he comes from Buffalo.
They just got him?
If he's there now, yeah.
Okay, so they just got
him. Yeah, because I think Buffalo got rid of everything.
Dang, fire sale.
But what's interesting about this team is they arguably have, depending on who you talk to, the best defensive player in the league in Aaron Donald. And he's holding out. And it's not like a Le'Veon Bell, I'm coming back on the first. They're suspecting or anticipating him to miss the first week of the season.
Well, really?
Did you guys hear about
that? No, I didn't know that. I didn't even hear about that.
So, yeah, it's a situation where he's way underpaid. If, you know, people like J.J. Watt are getting deals close to, you know, 20 mil.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
He's a defensive tackle. And he's a beast. And he's, again, if you talk about the top 5 defensive players and you don't add Aaron Donald, you're not a football
fan.
You're
lying, yeah.
So, yes, I think that's the most interesting situation.
How many games the Rams win?
7.
Ooh, you heard that?
6.
4.
I still think they're gonna struggle.
Yeah, they're not gonna. I don't think they're gonna be good at all, bro. I think they're gonna be fun to watch, but
they're gonna be better than the Eagles.
I don't think they're gonna be better than the Eagles. I don't think so. I don't think they're gonna be. You always trying to blow 10 shots, man. That's why. That's why they come for you, boy. That's why maybe if you wasn't always throwing shade, you know, you get some sunshine in your life. So anyways, next up is the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, they're stacked. They're loaded.
The Cardinals have been stacked for a while, though.
They're loaded, man. What's the running back name? Is it Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a fantasy stud.
Woo, that boy can play. And then
I don't think he should be the first overall pick in fantasy.
Did you see what he did last year?
I saw what he did last year.
Reminds you. And that's usually what happens. Like, that person that has that, you know, that meteoric rise usually becomes the number one pick the year after.
Yeah.
This is how it happens.
This is how it goes. Basically, they have a ton of talent. You know, they're... If it's not the team that we're about to say, it's gonna be this team. It's their division. Of, you know, they're
fighting. Does Larry retire after this year?
Yeah, I think he's done after this. I think he's gonna look to do something else.
Like, you think he's gonna be on TV, like an analyst or anything like that? He's got the ability. He's definitely he's extremely well spoken, articulate, awesome, intelligent. He's just like Larry's awesome. Like, he's just an awesome guy.
He really is. I was telling my dad. Because we were discussing the 50 black athletes that they did by the undefeated the other day that we discussed.
Uh-huh.
And he thought Larry Fitzgerald didn't belong on the list.
Woo! Crazy.
But he was really stuck on Gabby Douglas, but we're not going to go there. So they drafted Hassan Reddick. I'm not sure if you guys know about him. He was a linebacker from Temple. Pretty awesome. Pretty good addition to a defense that's always been very opportunistic in terms of turnovers, you know, with Patrick Peterson. They just let go of Calais Campbell, but they have the Honey Badger. So I think that they have a lot on defense to keep them competitive. I think that their offense has been explosive since Carson Palmer's been there. And if anybody's going to get a run at this, it's going to be them in terms of challenging Seattle. Do we agree with that?
Absolutely.
All right, so... Funny enough, their offensive line isn't the best, and Carson Palmer is pretty old. And I made a mistake with the 49ers. Blaine Gabbert is actually Arizona's backup quarterback.
Oh, Blaine Gabbert was Cap's backup last year because he started the season, and then Cap took over for him. And then Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, he's not right. There anymore.
So this year he's with the Cardinals.
Oh, Brian Hoyer's the starter.
So when he said he said somebody on the Niners.
Oh, because I said Blaine Gabbert when you were like, can you name someone?
Wasn't even somebody on the Niners.
And I was like, whoa, wait, hold on.
That's how bad it is out there. Woo, wow. It's deep. Yeah,
I still said Carlos team. Hyde.
Yeah.
They got a great basketball team out in the Bay. Shout out to the Bay. Shout out to Huey Newton.
He said they still got a great basketball team. Okay.
But I think
how many games are they going to win?
I give them 9.
Who?
Arizona.
Yeah.
Sure.
I give them 9.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to fall second in that division, though. They might. See, the NFC is a little tough. I think they might squeak into a wild card spot. Because obviously the next team we're going to do, I predicted to go to the Super Bowl, so I obviously have them winning the division.
So we, you know, lend the floor to you on your Super Bowl pick in terms of.
You know, we don't have to. I mean, you know, my Super Bowl pick, Seattle Seahawks.
Okay. What do you like about them so much that they're going to win the Super Bowl?
You know what? I think that offense is finally going to get it together.
Without beast mode,
I feel like. Remember this name, Chris Carson. I feel like he's going to end up being the starter and being the stud running back.
That's interesting. So no Eddie Lacy, no Thomas Rawls, no CJ ProSize.
No.
Chris Carson.
Yeah. I feel like he's going to outwork and outshine the rest of them. I feel Eddie Lacy's still overweight. He's not going to be able to do. He might give you like a LeGarrette Blount. You're on like the goal line and you need that big body to get you in there and you hand him off the ball. But his days of Alabama and his days when he was first with Green Bay, those are long gone. I don't know what happened.
He's not that old though, Jason.
He's not old, but I'm saying for whatever reason, he
you
can't.
You're saying he's fat. Just say it.
He's fat.
Okay, no, you know.
And I feel like Russell Wilson and Jimmy Graham will have a connection this year. So I feel like Jimmy Graham will probably be top tight end this year.
They're fun to watch in general. Like the Seahawks, like it, on both sides.
They are.
Both sides.
But one thing I really felt hurt them the last year or so was when Beast Mode left, when he retired, they had no run game. And that exposed Russell Wilson tremendously because, I mean, he couldn't – they were one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had nothing else going. Huh?
He did his thing, though.
Who, Russell?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, he did, but I mean,
you're right. No, without the added the pressure release, that's football, guys. When you have a good run game, it allows you to do so much more. And you know, you're right. It did kind of expose them a little bit, but they did well. They still did well.
Yeah, they just ran up against a hot Atlanta team that was about to blow out the Patriots too. They blew out them. They blew out Green Bay, and they were on the way to blow out the Patriots, and then. We have the memes to show the evidence.
Yeah, we don't even got to talk about that. But how many games Seattle gets?
11.
Wow.
I was going to go 12.
I'm going to go high. I think they're going to be great.
Okay, so we didn't even talk about their defense. So we still think the Legion of Boom is still
their defense is
Bobby Wagner, still Michael Bennett. We still feel like they're still in their prime. They're still what they need to be.
They're good money. They're straight.
You know what's so funny? It's been like a revolving door at the other cornerback position.
It's always
Brandon Browner. It's been Byron Maxwell. It's been like Deshaun Shedd. I don't even know who. But let me ask you this.
How would you have felt if they would have landed Joe Hayden?
Oh, my stars.
Yeah, that would have been crazy.
That would honestly, I already feel like this about them, but they're like the greatest secondary in NFL history. And if they would have added
history?
Joe Hayden. History. If you put all of them together,
I don't know about
that, bro. Philly had a trio secondary years ago.
Philly? Yeah,
Miami did. The Raiders did back in the day when they had Surtain and Madison.
Baltimore?
Listen to me. When you have Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman on the same team, and then the third party is Cam Chancellor, find me another secondary better.
I
remember Sam Vincent and those guys and Brian Dawkins in Philly. They were pretty good. You know, I'm not discrediting that. I'm just saying.
It's Jeremy Lane, by the way.
I did say him last just now. Yeah, okay. But my whole point is that secondary, I think, led this team to a Super Bowl. Name another one.
No. Okay. Yeah. Yes. You're right. But you act like, you know what I'm saying? There's some... You act like Cliff Averill's not there, and
I'm not saying he's not.
Dude, Michael Bennett's not there,
I can't remember a time where a secondary has been so impactful for. I don't want to say so long because it's only been like 4 or 5 years, but
That's long enough.
It's been long enough for them to be intact, for those three main players to be there, and they're all pros all the time.
I get what you're saying. You're saying that as a collective. They
can just keep just saying, hey, you want to come through the door, Jeremy Lane? You want to come by Brandon Browner? Come back, Brandon Browner. Hey, Byron Maxwell with your loose sleeves. You don't want to.
Man, you just always be hating on that man. Loose sleeves.
You have a very fair point. The only reason why I kind of, once you said it, I was like, whoa.
It made you.
No. It's simply because this is the only point, and if you disagree, then great, no problem. Let me just kind of just throw it out there. It's that. You know, Richard Sherman is obviously we have a standout. The other guys are all good, above average. I won't even say good.
Whoa, you don't think?
Whoa, I'm not even saying good. Listen, let me just say, I think they're above average. But I don't.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is an Eagles fan. Just want to put that out there.
What does that mean? But I can back up what I'm about to say, though.
Yo, I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, I can still back up what I'm about to say. God damn. Oh my God.
Go ahead,
but there's no Brian Dawkins on this team.
Earl Thomas is not Brian Dawkins.
Listen,
bro?
He's not Brian Dawkins. Don't do that.
Wait,
listen. I just told you that they had Cliff Averill. They had Mark. You played DB.
Yeah.
So you're gonna tell me right now when you have a strong front four that goes and hurries the quarterback,
right.
That it doesn't make your job easier?
Yeah, so I actually had that situation. I had three NFL players on my team that made my job easier.
Okay, so we're going to sit here and act school. until Javon Kearse got there, like who did Brian, who Ooh.
That Eagles defense was raw. I can't remember the names, but
they weren't as raw as the front four for Seattle.
And their secondary wasn't as raw as Seattle's either.
Bobby Taylor, Troy Vincent, freaking Dawkins, and who was the
I don't remember who the other cat was. He probably was like the revolving door like the Byron.
Nah, he was there for a while too though.
But that's cool and that's fine.
All you said in history, bro. I couldn't do it. I can't give it to you, man.
But I want you just to understand that. I just want you to understand that Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas are not just good.
I didn't say that. I said above average.
But they're above. No.
They're not just good.
So they're the best.
You can't name three safeties better than Matt. So if you go free and strong, there aren't three safeties better than two of them.
But I can name safeties that are better, though.
But we're talking about on the same team.
No, he's talking about in the league.
I'm saying give me three safeties better than Earl Thomas at free safety and give me three strong safeties.
I feel Rashard Jones for the Dolphins is one of the top three safeties in the league.
Give me somebody else.
Eric Berry.
And it stops. I guarantee
it. It might.
But that's my point. You have two top three safeties in a top three corner on the same team.
But okay.
That has never happened. Right. Ever.
Okay.
Troy Vincent, not a top three corner in his day. But Brian Dawkins, top three safety in his day.
Mm-hmm.
The other corner was not a top three corner.
Taylor. So
he was, but if we go back to that time and we start talking about the DBs, they're not in the same category. These people, Sherman, Thomas, Chancellor, are all pros every year.
But they're all pros now, bro. That's what I'm saying. Like,
Berry right now is not going to be an all-time great. Like,
he would have been.
I'm sorry.
He would have been.
I guess we had to bring back the old. So, like, Ed Reed. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So you want us to bring back the old people to talk about
why Earl Thomas is not as good as Ed Reed? Okay, breaking news. That's fine.
Troy Polamalu. I mean,
yeah. But I'm saying
we're talking about now.
Okay, but what I'm saying is the guys.
Brian Dawkins isn't as good as those guys either.
As who? As good as what guys? Guys.
Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu.
Yes, he's in the conversation.
He's in the conversation, but he's like LeBron.
He's
James.
In the conversation after I've already eaten. He's on that. He's in the side that. Conversation.
Don't do that. Guys.
He's not at the
he's
dinner
like
table.
LeBron James.
No, guys, don't do that.
Kevin Durant. Carmelo Anthony. This is.
Man.
That's no disrespect to him.
It's not. I mean, he's
Brian
still
Dawkins
good. He's just
Carmelo Anthony.
He's just average.
I love your hot take, bro. If you want me to say that they have the best ever, that's fine.
No, I don't want you to say that.
I don't think they have the best ever. I think they have one of. I think.
Okay,
I think I would have felt so much better if you said one of the best.
But again, evidence would show, and we're gonna bring out the stats, and we're gonna put this in the group. We want everybody to come out. We got to get back to our memes. To be dissected.
Mm-hmm.
Name the greatest secondary of all time. We're going to put this in the group. Everybody check it out. And I'm saying it's Seattle. And I'm saying it's by a landslide at this point.
Damn.
No, seriously. Because
I'm going to do my research, bro. If I come back with it.
That's fine.
What do I get? Do I get something?
You get a consolation prize if you were right. Right. You know, nobody ever tells anybody on the show they're right.
Anyways, but I already gave him a lot of love.
I told him, right?
Jeez.
The Steelers.
It doesn't happen. Yeah.
It doesn't. Oh, when is the last time you told me I was right? When is the last time somebody told Jason he was right?
Dang.
Anyway, so what I'm saying is the Steelers might get in that conversation in the 70s. But again, it gets convoluted. What I'm just saying to you is if we're going to go by the numbers and the eye test, just find me a secondary that had three all pros consistently for at least 4 years. And then we can add a
My only problem with that is that I don't think it's just their secondary. I think they have good linebackers. I think they have good front four. And I think that it makes them look better.
Okay, no problem.
And I think when you look at these other guys.
I think you put Earl Thomas on any team, he's raw.
Yes. I'm not saying that they're not good players, bro. I'm just trying to say that they look even better because their defense is super stacked, bro.
I got you. But just watch Earl Thomas, bro.
Stop telling me like I don't watch. I know you're talking about. I like Chancellor.
Bam, Cam.
Yeah, I mean, anyways, guys, we got a whole other division to kind of tackle real quick.
Right.
Let's knock that out the way. So to start things off for the AFC West, let's talk about the Denver Broncos.
They're not in the basement.
Are they not?
No, we normally
the Chargers.
The basement.
The Chargers.
Yeah, I guess the Chargers will be the basement.
Chargers, the basement. Division. Fine, we'll start with the Chargers. So, you know,
Philip Rivers. I just want to say this is going to go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks of this generation. Can I say that, Chris? Is that
bro,
okay?
You can say whatever you want to say.
I just want to know if you agree or not.
No, because he's going to talk about Donovan McNabb. So
first off, I wasn't even going to bring Donovan McNabb into it, but I know you ain't comparing those two guys.
I mean, I don't know what you're getting ready to do. So, all right, Philip Rivers.
And I just feel like since his time, he's just had a lot of bad luck. Run into a lot of injuries. Had that one really, really special team with LT when they went like 14-2 and they end up losing to the Patriots. And I just feel like every year somebody gets hurt. Like Keenan Allen has been hurt. Now the guy that played for Clemson that actually helped Deshaun Watson win a national championship is now hurt. So it's just like every year, like the offensive line is decimated. So it's just really sad to see an all-time great not necessarily get a chance to compete with Tom Brady as consistently as often as I would like to have seen.
Okay. Is Antonio Gates like 100 years old yet, or like
he is? And I think Hunter Henry like has his spot, so he's like a backup tight end like right now.
Nah, he's still the starter. I mean, you don't just shelf someone that's still serviceable. Now he'll probably split more reps and more time with Henry, but Gates is still going to be the starter.
Okay. What do you think about them though? Like, you know, defensively, what do you think about them?
Defensively, Melvin Ingram. Shout out to, you know, I always just get used to this. Every time somebody's from Fort Lauderdale.
That's fine. Do that.
Joey Bosa from St. Thomas was a monster last year, and he only played like I want to say like 12 games, and he had like 10 sacks. I want to say. Casey Hayward, who used to play for the Green Bay Packers, got like tied for the league in interceptions last year. He was pretty good. So that I think San Diego like. Over San Diego is one of those teams that can win 5 games or can win 9 games because they always end up in situations where they lose a lot of heartbreakers. And this has been what's been happening to Philip Rivers over the years, especially since LT has left.
But do you think Philip Rivers has a receiving core that's going to help him?
He never really necessarily had to have
one. You said San Diego. You got to stop saying that.
Oh,
Los Angeles.
Wow, yeah. I appreciate that.
So, you know what? Maybe new city.
Keenan Allen's pretty good.
Right. He is good. He is good. No, he is good. I think he's definitely a good fantasy pick.
Keenan Allen's not a good wide receiver?
I mean, he'll end up being a good fantasy pick.
He is a good fantasy pick. He's a little sleeper. Oh, wow. I mean, I give him.
I mean, he's their number one receiver. So I mean, yes, for the Los Angeles Chargers, he's good.
I give him 8 games. It sucks that they're in the division that they're in because they're not.
Do you guys think this is the best division in the league?
This year? I don't think the Broncos are that great. If the Broncos were better offensively, I would have said that.
You guys would be great. Yeah,
but what's crazy is, though, I mean, there's quite a few teams in the NFL right now that Cap could easily start for and do so much better than their current starting quarterback.
Cap was on the Broncos with Jamal Charles.
No, listen, you ain't got to tell me. You gotta tell me, bro.
And that defense?
Yeah. But then again, you know.
Hey, whatever.
Speaking of, though, Denver, you know, the defense can only take you so far. We can all agree on that, right?
I mean, I've seen some Houston has been squeaking in the playoffs with a defense.
Listen,
Houston has gone through 4 quarterbacks and made it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Denver won't make it because of KC and because of Oakland, but if Denver was in the AFC South, they'd make the playoffs.
Yeah, maybe. Who's in the South again? The Titans, Texans,
the Colts,
Texans, the Jaguars,
and the Jags. They make the playoffs in that.
Yeah.
Who makes the playoffs?
I'm just saying
Denver.
Denver just happens to be in a tough.
I mean, they were like 9-7 last year.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
No, I get it. I mean, now who are the quarterbacks? So Simeon
and Lynch.
No, you know?
Right.
But you know what? Denver's undefeated in preseason.
So is the Browns.
So are the Browns, baby.
I don't know what that really translates into.
So are the Browns. No, but their defense is serious. They're, you know, I mean, do we want to touch on it, or do we already know what's up?
We got the usual suspects, Von Miller, T.J. Ward, Chris Harris Jr., Tlaib. You know, it's pretty serious, man, at every level.
Somebody caught Tlaib, though, in that preseason. I think it was Green. I think he caught him with, like, he made him spin around.
Yeah.
Boy.
The defense is on point. I mean, I think Shane Ray was about to come into his own. That's who they drafted when DeMarcus Ware was there, and they wanted him to be like the new edge rusher. And so, the defense is going to be good. It's still young to some degree. It's not like old. And so, I think he can carry them if they get some quarterback play. If they don't get any quarterback play, they'll be 9-7 again. If the quarterback plays fine, they might win 11 games. Okay. It's one of those teams that could steal a few games because their defense is pretty good.
I think 11 is fair. I was going to say 10. I think 11
Wait,
is
we
fair.
Didn't even give any prediction for the Chargers.
Yeah, we did. I said 8.
I didn't say anything.
I didn't say anything either. Damn, he just said ahead, forget
say
the rest of
want.
Us.
Say what you want
My
to
bad.
Say. What you think?
7.
I say 7.
So you guys said one less than I did.
We're sorry, Chris.
Nah, that's cool. That's cool. Now on to the Kansas.
Wait, can I say my prediction for damn? Can
you
I say my prediction,
you
for,
prediction
Denver?
For Denver?
No.
You're just slow, right? Can you pick it up, please?
Pick up the pace. He's telling me don't whisper. Pick up the pace.
I know, right? You see?
8 wins.
Isn't wow. exactly what I no. I said
you don't even know what you said.
I did say more than that. I said 10.
For Denver?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Fine, fair enough. So
Kansas City, y'all.
Kansas City's exciting to me.
Kansas City's I think Kansas City has the fastest receiving core.
Yeah, the Kansas City.
They're fast as hell, man. Like
stop
Tyreek,
whispering.
Like Tyreek Hill.
You know they call him the cheetah, right?
Yo, he's fast, man. Yeah, dude, fast as hell. I think he clocked the fastest play. Like,
yeah,
he's some stupid sports science type stuff like that. They're nice, man. And then obviously their defense. Their defense is pretty solid.
Yeah, you did. You were so.
I'm an Eric Berry fan. I'm sorry. I don't give a shit.
I mess with Eric Berry since Tennessee.
Yeah, so man. I'm a believer. I think
Marcus Peters is that dude, too.
Man, listen, dog.
Oh, this secondary might be able to compete.
KC's nice, man. And KC's got a good coach.
Oh.
Here we go.
Time out. You didn't think I was gonna come?
I didn't know that was coming.
Oh wait, you time know, out. Time out.
I don't know how I was sucker punch with that.
Wait. So they haven't shown.
I think that Andy Reid has shown a lot in terms of going from Philly and then immediately making Kansas City a better team.
So making Alex Smith a serviceable, quarterback game manager.
Does the loss of Jamal Charles really hurt them?
No.
Okay.
Not Kareem Hunt's going
to
feel
I was about to say,
nice.
Kareem Hunt's going to end up surprising a lot of people.
And Spencer Ware showed him and Sharkhandrick West showed that, he's not disposable, but because of the way the team operates that they can make it work. But Jamal Charles is by far and away better than every other running back that's been on
that team.
You know
what's crazy? Jamal Charles barely made the roster for what team is he with now?
Denver.
He barely made their roster. He barely made the 53-man roster.
I didn't know that either.
It took the performance of the last preseason game for them to give him the nod to say, yeah.
Well, maybe he just didn't fit into their schemes.
I mean,
he's like a shifty guy. He's like
it's not even that. You know, he's injury prone.
True.
You know,
true.
He's got two bad knees and because he had no guaranteed contract, he was fighting for a spot on the team. I think he's getting paid like the league minimum.
Yeah.
That's crazy for the guy that actually is the all-time leader in rush yards per carry at 5.45 in the history of the NFL. Jesus. Higher than Bo Jackson, higher than Jim Brown.
Wow.
Higher than Barry Sanders.
I was just about to say, when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs.
5 yards carry is a lot.
No, I know. No, when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, they've always, even historically speaking, have always had dynamic players.
And it's always seemed like they didn't, but they did. Like Dante Hall was.
Priest Holmes. You go down the line, and there's always been somebody there that's like, oh, wow.
Yeah, who's that?
He's nasty. Yeah,
so why is it that they can't get a receiver?
Macklin was pretty.
Yeah, but
they cut him.
But look at the quarterback. They don't play like that.
I guess so.
Yeah.
They don't.
How many games?
11.
They win the division. So, I'll go 10, 10, 11.
I don't think they're winning the division. I'm giving them about 9, but that's.
So, who's winning the division?
The next team we have to talk about.
Yeah. The Oakland Raiders.
Okay.
I do think that they looked kind of like they didn't look bad in preseason, but.
Have they won a game in preseason?
I haven't watched the preseason.
They actually game, have so. Not won a game in preseason.
But I've just been seeing
highlights. But it's preseason.
But Derek Carr looked phenomenal when he was out there.
Like, he looked great. He did.
He looked phenomenal when he was out there. I think Lynch is going to do fine. It's not Seattle Lynch, but it's also.
I think a fresh Lynch might surprise some people, to be honest.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a year or so without getting hit. Anything like that. So, I mean, his body's going to be real fresh.
You know what the issue with the Raiders is, though? People going to run that score up on them boys. They got good players, but they're not a good defense.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce Irvin that used to play for Seattle's there. Obviously, you got Khalil Mack.
Mm-hmm.
You
need big plays with them. Like, it's one of them things, like, if they're not going to, you know, bend but don't break, it's going to be one of
those.
They have
a really good offensive line, by the way.
They do.
Like, we talk about the Cowboys' offensive line. The Raiders have a really good offensive line.
Yeah, Carr wasn't hit a lot.
Yeah, and so, again, remember when Beast Mode was doing this thing a few years ago? Seattle had a decent line. And so I think that, you know, some holes will get opened up. Carr will have time. And with that balance on offense, I think that it'll do just like Dallas last year, where Dallas didn't have a great defense, but because the offense was so balanced, they weren't exposed until they played Green Bay.
Who do you think the best target's going to be? Is it going to be Amari Cooper?
Of course.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like when I look at their defense, I do kind of feel like, you know.
Like they should have made a play for Joe Hayden. Like, how often do you get an all-pro
Man, I don't know. Type I feel cornerback. Like, I feel like Steelers were just waiting or something because, like, how did they close it? Yeah, they closed it in like a couple hours.
Well, he had the option, so he didn't have to clear waivers. He didn't have to do any of that.
So Golden State, he pulled a goal. He pulled a Kevin Durant.
So he went.
No, I think he did that because there's no way because so many teams wanted him, and within hours he goes to a possible front runner Super Bowl team.
I mean, anything out of Cleveland is a front runner.
Don't do that. I don't think it was just because he was in Cleveland.
Let me tell you something. He didn't want to go to the Jets.
Yeah. That is true.
That would have been a lateral move.
So how many games are we giving these boys?
12.
Mm.
10. I feel like at the end of the day, Kansas City is gonna nudge them out by like a game. Probably maybe over just off the tiebreaker. So I feel like they're going to be neck and neck with record.
Okay, so I think that in the division, Kansas City is going to do some work on them boys. But I think outside of the division, you know, I think the Raiders are going to stack up some wins. So I see them winning a lot around either 11 or 12 games.
Okay, so now that we've wrapped up every division.
Yes, sir.
Who wins the most games in the regular season? Which team? Where are your 13 possible 14 win team or your 12 win teams, your strong teams?
The Steelers.
So who wins the most games?
The Steelers.
I say Green Bay is going to win at least 13 games.
The Steelers, Green Bay, fair, very fair.
Seattle could do it.
Yeah.
Well, let's not talk about who could do it. Let's make the prediction. Like, you made your prediction that
he's saying them. We're saying we're agreeing so far. We haven't.
No. I don't. I want to.
He wants a definitive answer.
Green Bay is my definitive answer. Green Bay will have the most wins this season with 13
in the entire league.
Yeah. And if somebody ties them, it'll be the Patriots at 13.
Nah, Patriots not winning 13 because the Dolphins winning the division.
Sorry.
Exactly.
Apologies.
Man. So
I'm waiting on an answer.
Okay, I think
Pittsburgh.
I think Pittsburgh. I think, yeah, that's what I'm
saying. How many are they winning? How many games?
13.
I'll go with the 13. Yeah, I'll stay right on your line. 13.
Yeah, 13. 13, and I think Atlanta.
Oh,
I think Atlanta with 13 as well.
Cool. I feel, you know, with Atlanta, I feel like that Super Bowl loss is still going to haunt them.
Hangover?
Yeah, I feel like they're going to have a hangover.
They're going to have a Zach.
They had a preseason hangover, but I mean, I don't think that stuff matters.
I mean, first of all, they need to get rid of how many preseason games are played anyway.
Yeah. Who went down? Somebody who went down?
Edelman
and Ryan went out in practice, right? Tannehill went down in practice.
Right.
Yeah. But then, I mean, you had an OBJ scare.
Yeah, but he didn't go down, though.
I mean, that looked nasty.
It did.
So, Brandon Marshall got banged up by Jabril Peppers.
Okay. Like,
so it's going to happen.
Yeah, it is going to still happen. All right. I mean, I think we kind of knocked that out pretty well, you know? I mean, surprisingly, I think we got a little better at that, right? No?
Yeah,
no?
I mean, no? Absolutely.
But, you know.
Legion of Boom.
All right. So as we begin to wrap things up for this particular edition of Everybody Has an Opinion, I want to just remind you before we go into the fact of the day, I want to just remind you guys to stay plugged in and to tune in, you know, to us. You can hear us on Blog Talk Radio. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. We want to communicate with you. You can email us directly at info@everybodyhasanopinion@gmail.com. And you can also hit us up on Instagram, on Facebook, same name, Everybody Has an Opinion. We definitely want to hear from you. Why? Because, you know, this is a community where we all kind of interact with each other. You can jump on the show. You can be a part of this. It's all you got to do is just say, hey, you know, I got an opinion about what you guys are about to talk about. Can I be on the show? And so I'm going to toss it over to my boy Brandon. Oh, wait, we're not tossing it to Brandon.
Not yet. I just want to plug something in real quick.
Go ahead.
We're doing a fantasy football league.
Ah.
So if anybody's interested in doing fantasy football, we're starting up two leagues using ESPN. One, pay to play. The other, just have some fun. It's going to be free. So if you're interested, hit us up on our Facebook. Give us your email address so we can send you the invite and we could get that going.
All right.
Well, well, well. So, as we wrap up, we know that, as we've displayed throughout the show, that, you know, everybody's entitled to their own set of opinions, but not everybody's entitled to their own set of facts. So, fact of the day for August 30th, we're going to talk about American rapper, singer, songwriter, record producer, fashion designer, and entrepreneur, born in Atlanta, raised in Chicago. Do you know what we're talking about? Anybody?
We said a lot of stuff. So
I mean, Kanye. I know.
So, on this day, 2 years ago, Kanye West said he's running for president in 2020. Given what's happening in the country, I don't think that's a bad idea.
Right? He's got a chance.
And real quick, shout out to college football coming back this weekend. I know we didn't touch on it, but next week, we definitely going to get into some college football.
I mean, I think we just should share some of these highlights and stuff when they come out and everything that's going on. Because I think we're gonna see a very exciting year. I mean, last year, college football was so fun to watch.
Absolutely.
Like, God, last year was. Is what's his face still playing? He's still the Cardinals guy, the Louisville guy.
Yeah, he's still there.
So is he gonna? Is it a lock for him?
Black.
Is it a lock? Is it a lock for him?
For what?
Heisman?
Yeah.
No.
I think the guy from USC might take it.
The quarterback?
Yeah.
The one who said the one who had the statement?
No, that was from UCLA.
No, Sam Darnold's pretty good. He's a quarterback.
Okay.
But I like Lamar Jackson a lot. I really do. And, you know, when he said what he said about Kodak, that was amazing. Because he's actually from Pompano, and he played ball at Boynton. So, again, thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you go on iTunes. Make sure you check out yourpartner.com at www.yourpartner.com. And I will see you next time. Everybody has an opinion. We just want to know what's yours.
I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.